You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Your host, Kelsey Dara, and welcome to a very spoopy, death-defying, just kidding, it's actually about death, so it's not technically defying anything, episode of Confidently Insecure. This week, we are talking about something that normally I would be like, oh, trigger warning, but what I've learned when doing this research about like all of this episode, the thing I have learned is that I actually shouldn't be saying anything like trigger warning about the word death because it is inevitable and it is part of being a human and it is part of the cycle of life. And it's one of those topics where obviously I talk about such taboo stuff on this pod, and yet I still didn't realize like my own internalized fears I had about death. And I joke about the thing that helped me get over my fear of death was hearing Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about death being the same thing that happens, like what happens when you die. It's the same thing that happens before you're born. Like you don't, it doesn't matter. Like you don't remember and you won't remember, and nothingness is like peaceful. And I kind of was like, oh, well, yeah, shit. When you think about it, my existence before, I wasn't aware. And so what should I have to be afraid of? And, you know, I grew up very Baptist, Southern Baptist religious. You know, there's heaven and hell. You get into heaven by doing X, Y, Z. You get into hell by not doing X. Like, I don't know. It was a lot of fear mongering. And so I wanted to do an episode talking a little bit about death, dispelling some of the scams around the funeral industry, especially in America, and talk about all of that. But first, a little bit of bing bong housekeeping. I just got back from Europa. If you listened to last week's episode, you knew I was in Roma. I had an amazing time. I feel like I'm still in that phase of coming home from an amazing vacation and being like, oh, I still want to be in another country. And this, which is weird because normally after traveling like that, I'm like excited to get home. I want to go home. I'm ready to go home. This was the first time that I landed, touched down in America. I opened my phone. I wasn't really aware of how bad things were going on in Los Angeles. And like, it was nice to take a break from what was going on in the administration for a week. And when I landed, I was like, oh shit. Okay. This is like bad. And I think I talked a little bit about this last week, but just being able to see why so many people don't have the capacity to understand like worldwide humanitarian issues. It's just a lot. Like there's a lot of shit going on everywhere all at once. Not to bring the movie into this, but take care of yourself. Make sure you're just, you know, taking those moments for yourself, your breath, and know that like your community comes first, like you and your closest people. Like without that support system, it's going to be hard to take on the weight of the world's problems. So So just make sure we're all taking care of ourselves during this time. Now that we got that out of the way, oh, it's also my 6-year sobriety anniversary today. Again, it crept up on me. Like I really thought every year was going to be a bigger like celebration and such a huge deal and be like, oh my God, this is happening. And again, continues to be the best decision I ever made in my life. And it's just so good that I don't think about it. Like I'm so grateful every day that I don't think about it in the smaller moments like these little anniversaries. But I'm thrilled to have another year under my belt, as they say. And I went to an amazing baby shower for our friend of the pod, Freddie, and her boo, Ruff's baby to come. And it was just a really good day surrounded by love and friendship. And I also got a spray tan. Don't know if you can tell. I feel like that's pretty big housekeeping news. This is a spray tan. And it's been a while since I've gotten one. So it looks like this is just what I'm going to look like for a little bit. And we're all going to have to be okay with it. Okay? Just don't look at my fingers or my knuckles or my feet because it's drastic. Okay, so enough of the housekeeping. I say we dive right into it. Let's talk about the scary, spoopy, taboo topic of death. Now, the reason why I wanted to do this conversation was because being in your 30s, all of a sudden, like, things just start happening very quickly. Like, I thought I was going to get a slow ease into seeing all of my friends get married and have kids. And it feels like it's all happening at once. Like, we all collectively decided to do this thing. They also are pushing out kids. They're getting married. Some are getting divorced. And another huge thing that I'm seeing happen is the death of a parent. And in my friends' lives, that's like all consuming and so huge and disrupting. And it hurts so badly to watch a friend go through something like that. And then like as you're processing a pain for them, you're thinking about how lucky you are that you haven't had to experience the death of a parent or a parent-like figure. For me, I feel like I've been really, really lucky in that I'm turning 35 in August and I haven't lost someone super duper close to me. I've lost 2 friends to overdoses in high school and my grandma, who I guess, you know, I wasn't super close with, but like loved and she loved me. But in terms of just tight knit, like immediate family, I've been really, really lucky. My dad has beaten cancer. My mom just had heart surgery. Like I feel privileged for sure. And recently I've had like 3 very close friends in my lives either have their fathers pass away suddenly, or they got like a week's notice, or it was like in the group chat, 1 second we're talking about, you know, like nudes and dating. And then the next it's, guys, my dad just passed away. I'm flying home right now. And we're like, oh shit, like rally the troops. What can we do? How can we be there for someone? And I didn't know this, but after a death of a close, like an immediate family member, within 24 hours of their death, the family has to make up to 150 decisions on average about how they will take care of the dead, essentially. And we've tried to make it this very like flowery, sensitive thing because of, y'all are going to hate this, capitalism in America, whereas a lot of other countries and religions weren't taught to like fear death and they were taught to like celebrate it. But we've also learned it to be this big scary wave of like this huge grief moment, and like rightfully so, love is deep and runs thick in like the family bonds. But I thought of the actual process of how do we handle death as a society and family members as something that was like, it just felt a little bit scammy to me watching what was happening to my friends, just with like the funeral industry, with the way they were having to spend money, the way that they were having to make decisions very quickly. And I was like, we got to look a little bit deeper into this. So beyond grief, which I would love to do like a separate episode about the science of grief, I want to talk a little bit about the funeral industry, what we are doing wrong, what we're doing right, how to not say RIP to your wallet when you're already having to say RIP to a loved one. Like, quick question. Have you thought about what will happen after you die? Do you have a will? Do you have someone in your family that knows exactly what you want? Like, for me, I actually today on Father's Day, happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there and the saddies, did a 2-hour Zoom hangout with my family where I called it Dara Death Day. And we went through and we recorded it and we talked about what we want to happen after each one of us dies and like what steps we want the family members to take, how we'd like to be remembered, how would we like traditions to be carried out. And at first, when I like sent this text to my family asking if they would be down to do this, all of them were very freaked out. They were like, are you okay? What's going on? And I was like, I swear, I think this is going to be a lot lighter of a conversation than you guys are making it out to be. Because when I was reading Conversations on Love by Natasha Lund, which is out now and is a really sweet book, I read a couple passages that talked about how had people that had lost loved ones been able to redo conversations with that person before they died, what would they have done? Even if they had a lot of advance notice that they were sick or going to pass, that they all said the same thing where they had wished that they talked more about death and the process of grief and the process of handling death. And that made me want to chat with my family about it because yes, we have like an attorney, I think, who power of attorney, whatever, whoever holds all the big fancy paperwork that says where everything goes when someone dies. Yes. But like the little intricate details of like, what kind of party do you want to have? How do you want to be remembered on your birthday every year? Like what kind of like, we went around and we're like, if you had to theme your funeral, what would you want us to theme it? And I got to say all of the things that I would actually want, because I think a thing that a lot of people say is that, well, that's what they would have wanted. And we don't know. And I wanted to know. And so we're here to talk about it. And I also want to give you conversations to talk about with your family members and people that you love about death that you guys can do this on your very own. So let's talk about it. So this one is obviously a little bit about the funeral industry too, why it's a massive scam, how we got here, how other cultures handle death way better than we do, and of course, how you can also talk to your family without getting too emotionally soggy. The business of death is a true capitalist hellscape. Okay. Just want to throw this one out there for you. On average, an American funeral costs between $7,000 and $12,000. I'm sorry. That's like a full year's worth of semester of college at like an out of state school. That is like a year rent for people. That is a huge financial hit, even if you have life insurance. Like if you have life, bro, I should not be having to pay posthumously to make my family go into debt, or like that money should just be going to them. It should not be going to some fancy parade for me. Like I'm dead. I don't care. Like chuck me out in the yard for all I care. Tip me off the edge of a boat. Let me be fish food. Why do I care once I'm dead? Just to give you a little details and insight into this, a vault can be up to $1,500. A casket ranges around $2,500. Fucking what? Embalming can cost $800. Flowers you're going to spend on average of $300. That's not including things like rental space, a hearse, makeup, death certificates, etc. If you want to be cremated, that ain't cheap either. That can cost up to $4,000 depending on what kind of urn you get. On average, it's between $1,000 and $4,000. Like that's so much fucking money to put on someone else if you do not have a will saying otherwise how you would like your death to be handled out, or B, like you didn't leave them any fucking money to do this shit. I would be so pissed. Why? We should not be going into debt to handle our loved one's death. A lot of times too, funeral homes will often upsell people that are in the midst of grief and not in the right mind to make decisions. with packages, which include things that you don't need, like embroidered lining or a limo service or viewing hours that people won't come to because you don't need all that time to like make it happen. Like I've seen it where people are doing viewing hours for like 2 days long so that people can come from out of town. Like, bro, that's too much. That's too much. Don't put my body out on display like that. No, thank you. I'm just trying to imagine too, like I'm trying to imagine like your final hours on Earth physically being like still taking money from your family. Like, I know you guys helped me raise me, put me through college, but can you also just like this one last favor, shell out $12,000 to, you know, burn me up, put me in a fucking urn and then, I don't know, blast me out of a firework over Chesapeake Bay or wherever you want to be cremated and spread. Anyways, again, why death in the U.S. is treated like such a taboo over so many other places that I discovered while doing this research. Victorian death culture used to be open and family-based. Like back in the day, people used to host the dead at their homes. There wasn't like a funeral home. There wasn't these burial sites or, you know, massive graveyards. But imagine wartime, the Civil War, revolutionized the business because they learned that they needed to start embalming individuals so that they could send the soldiers' bodies home. Yike. They were like so attached to the idea of having the physical body there to say goodbye that the embalming process was invented. Therefore, the embalming industry, therefore the funeral industry, like that's just one guy with a really good sales pitch and first to market idea about embalming, and he took it way too fucking far. You know what I'm saying? And you know it was a man. Come on. I mean, I would be so sad if I learned that my family needed some sort of like physical connection to have closure. And like me and my family talked about that tonight. And my dad said, you know, he did it with his dad because his mom, my grandmother, had chosen to do that. And had he had the choice, he would have never done that. He did not want to remember his dad like that. It didn't give him any sense of closure. It didn't give him any peace seeing his dad like that. He wanted to remember him, you know, the way he remembered him, alive and well. And so when his mom passed, they didn't do a viewing. And he said that was so much better. And I have to imagine for his mental health. So if that's something you have thought was like a requirement, it's not. You don't have to do that. You don't have to put yourself through that. You don't have to put like your kids through that. If you do, make sure that you're teaching them that it's some sort of like natural part of life, that it's a grief process, and teach them about it. Try to make it not so like scary. Like I was creeped the fuck out by having to go to funeral viewings as a child, like totally fucking creeped out. And the mood was so, oh my God, it was so, so sad. Very off-putting. So yes, the embalming revolutionized what we know now to be modern funerals. They needed to preserve the bodies and send them back home. And that created the industrialization of death. Capitalism plus Christianity equals big bucks, baby. Put your grief in a box, pay your specs, don't talk about it again, and let us charge your Amex $12,000, because we're going to say now that religion, this is the process. This is what they would have wanted. Make sure the funeral's in a church. Make sure the community is involved. Yes, this is now a religious thing. So, you know, they have us following these orders that may or may not even be applicable to us because we may not even believe in that religion. But we just assume that's the way funerals go because that's what we've seen in movies and talked about. But it's like, no, bro, that was Christianity did that. When we come back, we're going to talk about so much more, like modern American grief versus how other cultures do it and why it's important to talk about your death while you're still alive.
Confidants, have you ever just felt like a little off, not totally like yourself? Maybe you're feeling a little bit tie-tie, I know I have been going through a lot of stress recently, and I've learned that it's maybe not sometimes just stress or, you know, lack of sleep. It could be hormones at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. I actually took the quiz and it suggested that my body might be overloaded with the hormone estrogen, which could be affecting me in all different kinds of ways. And I got to start taking Hormone Harmony, which has helped with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and so much more. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. And if you take this quiz, you're going to learn a lot more about your hormone balance and can make these small, intentional changes. We love that, confidants. And Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which we support and love here. And that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows, baby. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Kelsey at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Kelsey for 15% off today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, so in America, like I said, we sort of outsource our grief, right? Like, we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to touch a dead body. We don't want to be around it. We want someone else to take care of it. And yet, I've experienced with my friends' losses that if they could choose, they would want to be holding their loved ones close to them, not putting them away in a box in some freezer at some hospital or at some morgue, et cetera, et cetera. They don't like the idea of thinking about their family alone. But yet we are still also like grossed out by any other idea that we should not be involved in the death process or the passing on process. We consider like dead bodies and death to be gross. And beyond it being like a hazard for health reasons, like if you can find ways to subsidize that, it's actually not gross to other cultures. And it's not necessarily labeled like a bad thing. It's not a taboo, horrific, traumatic experience. You know, like in America, we even say they passed away. We don't say they died, right? Like, we've flowerized this language. I don't know if that's a word, flowerized. Somebody, where's my button? Don't Google that. Or somebody just let me know if I just said it so confidently that like it kind of passed. Okay, so other cultures that do it better than us. Mexico, for example, has Dia de los Muertos. I apologize for that pronunciation. It's a very celebratory, colorful, loud, and ongoing party. You throw a party with your dead, not for them. If you haven't seen the movie Coco, I think that's the Pixar film, you should check it out. It's a lot more, it's a lot better of a way to handle death that like I would see for myself personally. Like, on the phone call with my parents today, I was like, I want, like, people always say, it's not a funeral, it's a celebration of life. And I'm like, I don't want a celebration holiday. I want a fucking rager. I want, if Pride was for my dead body, like I am the diva, I am the star of the show. Like everyone has to be dressed in rainbow sequins, sparkles, puffs, collars, hats, design, like, oh, to the gods, theater, camp. I want ridiculousness to the 100th degree, a party with all of my friends. My sister said she wanted us to throw her a rave and everyone would like dress in black, but not in like the sad way. It would be in like a fun raver way. And then she wants cannons to blast out her ashes when the beat drops. And if that's not a raver baby, I don't know what else is. Okay. So in Indonesia, I thought this was really interesting. The Torajan people exhume and dress their dead annually. It's like a whole ass family reunion with corpses. And I looked a lot of this up and it's, I thought it was going to be really spoopy and scary, and it's not. It's kind of like people with skeletons that they dressed up and like are posing with their family, and it's very sweet and almost is like kind of nice that they keep their dead ones close by and they keep them in the family, like in activities, and they have they don't have that like ick around it, you know. Like when at first when I was researching this, I was a little bit judgmental, right? I was like, this is crazy, this is wrong, they shouldn't be doing this. And then I'm like, wait a minute, you're literally doing this episode because you are not afraid to admit that you don't know everything and that you're not afraid to ask these questions. And the more I looked at it, the more I was kind of like, I don't know, it feels like kind of like people keep their teddy bears around. I know, strange comparison, but that's where in my head I got it to be that kind of place in my head where I was like, you know what? It's actually, it's sweet that they aren't afraid of their loved ones' remains being close by. It's not a spoopy thing, it's not a scary gross thing, and I thought that the fact that they have gotten to that place is very beautiful. In Tibet they have what's called the sky burial, which is just where you just let nature do its thing with the body. So you set it out, whether it's like the vultures or the weather or whatever it is, it's the earth's way of taking care of your body. It's natural, it's efficient, and it's deeply spiritual when you think about it. Like, we are all just dust and matter and particles and atoms, and just setting us back into the ground with other nature, dust, particle, atom, stardust. It's very beautiful. In Ghana, this one's kind of cool. They have custom fantasy coffins shaped like anything from Coke bottles to a sneaker. Like, literally, that is so swag. Like, I don't know why that was so fun. It's so artistic to me. And I thought, see, they're doing it right. Like, at least they're having a little bit of fun with it. Yes, they are following tradition, but you know, meanwhile in America, we're here like, we need the black matte gloss linen casket with the lace insides. They must be in a tuxedo. Like, no, bitch, I don't want to be buried in a fucking dress and heels. Like, put me in my Skims, bury me with like some Cheetos, and don't bury me at all. Like I said, put me in a crematorium and throw my ashes in a firework into the sky. Maybe on the 4th of July. Why do I care? Yes. So like I said, especially around the time when you are going through the shock and grief of dealing with your loved one's death, the last thing I think we should be worrying about is all of these decisions. And it stressed me out a little bit when I thought about my parents or sister or loved ones having to deal with all of those decisions on their own. Like, I feel like you're leaving them with a lot of potential like guilt, even like if they don't do something right, or if it's not, I don't know, the perfect way to send you off, or like I also have to imagine you're dealing with so much grief that you might not even really remember that time. It might be very stressful, you're working off a little sleep, high emotions. Like, I almost wish we would get a bit of room to grieve before we are asked to deal with the practicalities and like the physical matter with that is associated with death. So if you don't pre-plan with your family, your loved ones most likely are going to get guilt tripped into spending a lot of money and going into some sort of debt. Like I said, I was very anti this conversation until I read that book. And I'm curious if you have had this experience in your life with either having to follow a traditional funeral, or have you gotten to do something a little bit different for a loved one, or did your loved one leave you, you know, instructions behind? What did they say? How did that work? But if you don't even know where to start in this arena, let's get some clarity on things we can do to make this process a lot easier on the people that you are leaving behind. Number one, get your family together. Do what I did. Tell them, I want to talk about something taboo. I want to talk about death. I understand that it might be uncomfortable for some people, but did you know on average, XYZ, talk about the decision-making process, how you don't want to participate in capitalistic debt for the sake of things looking kosher a certain way, accepted by societal standards, whatever. And say that you also like care about what they want for their lives in the afterlife, no pun intended. But how do they want to be remembered? What are, you know, one of the questions I put down to ask my family was like, who are people you absolutely do not want at your funeral? Is there anything you want us to say? Or is there a certain song you want us to play? Do you want a theme? What if you want a gravestone? What do you want written on it? And it was funny because I knew a lot of my dad's answers were going to be like, I don't care, I'm dead. Do whatever you want. And it literally at one point he was like, my wish is to be cremated and spread in our backyard with a lot of our pets' ashes. My mom was like, I'm not putting you in the backyard with all of our dead animals like that. I'm not doing that. And we had to be like, Mom, that's what he wants. He is asking you to like listen to what he is saying. Take that into consideration. That's his desires. Like, he wants to be with his pets. Like, that's what he wants. And so we kind of had to like talk my mom down a little bit off of that like experience of what, again, she would maybe want, which is like a beautiful ceremony at this beautiful property and a lake and like fun, you know, these certain gospel songs that she likes to sing to like keep the beat going and certain traditions and things like that. And so to hear my dad have to actually put a little bit more thought and thinking into like what he would actually want to leave behind as a legacy or would want us to do for him, it was actually a very fun and funny conversation. And it brought up a lot of fun memories to talk about. We got to talk about a lot of different people in our lives. Like, it was a 2-hour fun, joyous conversation between my sister, my dad, and my mom and I. So I highly recommend you first just like approach the subject with clarity, but also comedy is okay. Next, make sure that you have an advance directive and will set up, even if you are only in your 20s, or look into if your insurance policy, if you have life insurance. I remember my dad told me it would be fine. He like had set up a life insurance policy for me and my sister, obviously when we were born, and it had accumulated a little bit of money over time. And he was like, honestly, you could take that money out and do with it whatever you want. Like, you don't have to save that for your life insurance. Like, you, if you don't want the XYZ, like you could always open a new one. And I was like, that's a very good point. And so I'm pretty sure I took out my life insurance money when I was just getting started in Los Angeles. So just look into what you do or don't have set up, even if you don't have something official, like documents set up, or even if you don't even own assets, or like I said, you feel like you're young and thriving, there's still conversations to be had. There's still physical things to be dealt with. Like a fun conversation we had was talking about with my family, like where certain things would go after someone's death, whether it was like clothes or mementos or jewelry or like cars, etc. And so that was like a fun, funny conversation that we got to talk about. And like, it was funny what meant something to someone versus like one of us were like, I don't care about that. No, you, I don't care what you do with that. Do whatever you want. Again, ask your family questions. Try to be not judgmental. And what we did was I recorded everything via like a QuickTime screen recording, and I threw it up on a G drive so that it hosts in the cloud forever. And we consider that like our, you know, document or whatever of everything that we talked about. But also you should have something written down in paperwork in America to be looked at afterwards. And think a little bit beyond your initial beliefs. That's what I would encourage you, is to think about death and the death process beyond what you've been taught to believe, and think about like, if you could really do anything you ever wanted, what would you want done? So let's say you've done all of these things and you're like, yeah, I don't want to spend that much money. Yeah, this industrial grief complex funeral scam is absurd. I want a better, cheaper, and more ethical option for my death. I'm going to tell you about a couple things you can do instead. So there's something called green burials, which is no embalming. There is a biodegradable casket or shroud, and your body goes back to the earth, which on average it only costs $2,000 to $4,000. It's still a lot of money, but at least you are not harming the planet as you go. There is such a thing called water cremation or alkaline hydrolysis, which dissolves the body in water and lye. What's lye? Not quite sure. Low emissions with this one, minimal energy, and unfortunately it is not available everywhere yet, but it is picking up popularity amongst the death community. There is human composting, or recompose instead of decompose. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It is legal in a few states like California, Washington, and Colorado. You literally become soil for a forest or garden, which is, in my opinion, very beautiful and poetic. Like, I think it would be so cool to become a fucking tree where people could come visit and it's protected and can't be cut down, etc. I guess it's like the idea that your body becomes something bigger and greater than oneself. You're providing oxygen to the world. Also, there is just direct cremation, which you don't have a viewing. There is no makeup artist involved, no casket, showroom, guilt tripping, viewing hours, just boom, yeah, ashes. And that is only around $700 to $1,500. And so that is your most affordable option. I don't know why we can't just do it in our backyard. I have to imagine it's for health code reasons. But I am curious why, if we can't just do that. And what happens if no one comes and picks up your body? What happens then? Like, my mom was telling a story on the Zoom tonight about how someone she knew went overseas and they were on a trip and someone died of a heart attack during an activity, and it cost $20,000 just to get the body shipped over here. That's not even counting all the funeral conversations and costs. Something that my business manager told me about, that everyone would have to do on their own because it's probably going to be different for everyone, but it's basically like a medevac and death insurance coverage. Anytime you leave the country, we would always add it onto our trip. So that was like, if you got seriously injured or hurt or even died in another country, this would helicopter you back to your country. And I think it only costs like an extra $150 added on to a trip. And if I'm going out of the country, I'm probably already spending $1,000 or more to get this trip under my belt. So with that peace of mind, knowing if anything were to happen, like, God forbid you get stuck in a country that doesn't have the right medical tools or advancements, like, I felt safer always knowing like that was absolutely worth it to me. So yeah, confidants. I know this was maybe a little bit more of an awkward conversation, not our typical crazy stuff that we talk about on the podcast, but I feel like it is so important to make a death plan, especially after what I feel like when the universe is giving me little signs like this with things around me, it's so clearly being like, you have work to do, now go do it, and then tell all of your confidants about it so that they can feel prepared and ready to do it too. Death isn't scary. Remember, it's just like a part of life, okay? Dying without a plan, however, that's really scary, okay? And if I die suddenly, just know that I want my eulogy performed with PowerPoint memes. Like I said, everyone has to be dressed to the gods, like you're going to the gayest Met Gala you've ever been to. And all of my friends have to perform a tight five about the craziest experiences we had together. Okay? Otherwise, I'm haunting all you bitches. Leave any comments below that you have about death or the conversation surrounding it below. And also, I'm curious about your own experiences with this stuff. So tell me what you've been through, what you wish you would have done differently, or give me some tips to pass along. All right, confidants, I'll see you next week. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.